Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 15th of August 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
I'm not knowing, I will state my age. Right, my name is Paul Curran. I'm 45 years old. I'm originally from Corringham in Essex, but I now live in Chiswick, London.
And how are you doing today?
I'm all right. I'm nicely excited, looking forward to my hour on the plinth, slightly trepidatious because I know that I've got a lot to do, because I've got this weird notion of building a shed up there. So I've done a dry run. I think it will be okay, but you never know. If it's a bit windy, I might have some troubles, but we'll see.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
Well, I'm a journalist. I work for the BBC and I work for BBC London. So we covered this. So we've been covering the fourth plinth ever since it and the art installations ever since they were first started. So for me, it's something I've always known about. So I would have heard about One Another probably when it was probably, I think it was about 2 years ago it was announced first, wasn't it? So something like that. I would have then heard about it then. And then my interest was obviously sparked again once they did the sort of the press launch for it a few weeks back, I suppose, and I thought, well, I'll have a look at the website just to see what was going on, and that's when I decided to apply. And I don't quite know why I applied, really, because everyone says to me, why are you doing this? Because bizarrely, despite the fact I'm a TV reporter and I appear in front of the camera quite a lot, I'm not the sort of show-offy type person. I think they all thought this is a very show-offy thing to do. A very, you know, here I am, look at me. And so when I got the place, initially my reaction was, right, it wasn't amazingly excited. It was a case of what do I want to do with this? And I was actually quite worried because I didn't quite know if there was anything that I wanted to go up there and do. And I knew that I was going to be one of the later people, so lots of things would have been done before. And I wanted to do something that was a bit different, but also had a story to it, being a journalist. And so, yeah, I was slightly worried until I found out what I wanted to do. So that's where I'm so far. Yeah, that's about five of your questions from your sheet, all answered in one go.
Fab. And can I just ask you about your hour? Can you just talk a little bit about what you're doing?
Okay, so where did it all come from? The idea is to build a shed. The shed is, in good old imperial terms, 6 feet by 3 feet, and it's probably about 4 feet high, 5 feet high at the apex. So it's quite a good size to go on the plinth, which is only 5 feet by 14 feet. Now, the idea for this came from the fact that sheds have obviously been very popular in recent art, and I've always liked that idea. I like the way that's been played with. And I just built a shed in my back garden. So I had some spare wood, and I thought, why not use it and build a mini shed on the plinth, and it would be sort of my arty shed. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to build a shed, it'd be nice to have something on it. And I was thinking about some form of graffiti style, probably Banksy-esque. And I approached, actually, Banksy's agent, not for Banksy, but for some of the other artists he represents, but didn't hear anything back. So the idea was sort of mulling around in my head. I then met a friend, and we were talking about another project that we've got going, and I told him about the shed, and I was also talking to him about his good friend Ron and his son Jake. And Jake had just died, and he was only 26, but he was a graffiti artist, a very underground graffiti artist. And so the idea sort of crystallized of, because I knew Ron was very upset. I knew Jake's death had really left him in quite a bad way. And we thought it would just be a nice tribute if we could get some of his art, put it on the shed, and then put it up on the plinth. So thanks to this guy, Phil White. Phil has built the shed. He got one of the friends of Jake, who was known as Riser, to come round and put the graffiti on the shed. And so now it's covered in Riser's dub, and also his other one, which is Igloo. And yeah, it's going to be a little statement for the hour, and his family and some of his friends are going to be there, and hopefully it'll mean something to them. It means something to me as well, because when I built my shed in my back garden, my mum and dad helped me, and it was a really, I know it sounds weird, but it was a really fulfilling project, and it was a really good bonding time with my mum and dad, who I don't see enough of. So yeah, there's lots of elements to it. All a bit weird, but there we go.
For you individually, what's the significance of using the shed, the form of the shed?
I don't know. I think it was more just a case of the shed is... It has come to symbolise so many things for so many different people. For me, the shed actually in my back garden means there's a lot of clutter I can get out of my house. And it is really being a very basic shed. It's a storage shed. For other people, though, I know that, you know, your shed becomes your workshop, or it becomes a haven. You fill it with your TV, you put your, you know, drinks down there, you get away from the family, whatever. And I know the shed just plays lots of different roles for lots of different people. There are websites devoted to the shed, the various different designs of the shed. And, you know, people are fanatical about their shed. And I just thought it'd be quite funny, actually. That was probably, I like a laugh. And I thought that, yeah, why not build a shed? Quite a basic shed on top of the plinth, and, you know, put it next to the generals and the former kings. Here's a shed covered in tags.
And can I ask you a little bit about graffiti? I mean, all this kind of lingo, tag, dub. How do you know quite a lot about it? What kind of?
I know it sounds awful, but again, being a journalist, you just, you know, I'll have done stories about graffiti. Artists, if you want to call them artists, being done by British Transport Police, whatever, for bombing a train, bombing, dubbing, whatever, you know, putting tags on a train. And we'll do it from that side of it. I have an ambivalent view of graffiti. I love some and I hate others. I hate simple tags. I don't see the artistry in that. And strangely enough, I know that Riser, Jake, was a tagger. But I also know that he had a definite skill when it came to bigger forms, and he was actually quite talented. So I have a little bit of an ambivalent attitude to it, and I really do love Banksy, but now Banksy has become hated by graffiti artists. They hate the fact that his work is perceived as acceptable and their work isn't. And I buy into their idea as well of... we are bombarded with images, particularly things like advertising, which we have no control over. We'll go out and see Coca-Cola splashed all over the side of a building. And their argument is, well, if they can do that, why can't we do this? And I have a certain sympathy with that, because again, it's all about control and acceptance, and where did we, the public, give our agreement to allow that to happen? I, as I say, though, I'm not condoning graffiti, but I'm certainly not condemning it either.
Yeah. And you said that his family may be coming today, or they are coming today?
Yeah. The dead man is Jake Bird. He was 26. His cause of death is a mystery. He was found dead in bed. His family are just in bits. I know that. I don't really know them. I've been introduced to them by a friend of mine called Phil. So they are here today. His mum and dad are separated and have new partners. But so they are here. Ron, his dad, and Jane, his mum. So they'll be both in the crowd. I imagine some of his graffiti crew, the Destructive Vandals, will be here as well. So they'll be in the crowd.
So he used to go around as part of this crew, tagging?
Yeah.
Okay.
As I understand it.
Around London. Have you actually ever seen any of his work around London?
You will see tributes at the moment on Brick Lane. There's a whole section of Brick Lane that's given over to graffiti. So there's a whole... I don't know how extensive it is, but they all went down there and did Riser as a almost like a whole street's worth of it. So, yeah, some of his stuff will be around, but not much of it, apparently. I think he'd got out of just the simple tags. He was, I suppose, growing up a bit at 26. But certainly some of his friends are still active.
Yeah. And what do you think this, your hour, will mean to his family?
I don't know. I hope it will help them in their grieving process. I think they've found out a lot about him after his death through his friends, and I don't think they appreciated how many good friends he had. He's got a Facebook site that was started as a tribute, which is more than 230 people that have signed on to it. It sounds like this guy was just a really nice person, and people have said that on the website. So I think that is giving them a lot of solace. I hope this helps. It helps me. It gives me a purpose for what I'm doing. And I wanted a purpose. I think it was difficult. I think if I'd just gone onto the plinth and stood there, I don't think I would have felt worthy of the place. And I was tempted at first to do it as work. I work for BBC London, and I will be a video journalist. And it was tempting to just go up there with a video camera, film my reaction, film the crowd, and do it as a news piece. And I'm glad I haven't. I'm glad this is personal. And it might be interesting to see how I feel about it afterwards, actually.
And on flip reverse, your work, can I ask you a little bit what you do, how long you've been doing it for?
Well, I work for BBC London as a TV reporter, so I cover London, any story in London that might come up. And I've been working in TV for 14 years. I've been a journalist for 20 years, always with the BBC, so it's lovely to work with Sky.
That's great. So you've been with the BBC, sorry, for how long?
20 years.
20 years, okay. And have you always been in the same area, or have you kind of developed and been shifting about?
I started off in radio, working in BBC Essex, which is based in Chelmsford, as just a general reporter. The move to a station called GLR, which no longer exists, it's now BBC London 94.9. And I joined Newsroom South East in 1995 as basically a TV reporter, and have stayed there, although the programme's now called BBC London. So yeah, I've had various different specialisms over the time, but still basically a general reporter.
Okay. And how do you think that's kind of shaped you as a person, working with the BBC for, 20 years?
I don't know. That's a terrible question. How has it shaped me? I don't know. I suppose it is what I am. And yeah, I suppose you have an attitude, you have an approach to life being a journalist. I don't know, really. I never thought about that.
Yeah. And can I ask you a little bit about your interests?
Yeah, my interests. I mean, varied in general. I'm not a great, get obsessed about one thing or another. Most of my time nowadays is work and then family. I've got a young family who are going to be here today as well. My 4-year-old son, Finley, and I've got a 16-month-old boy called Milo, and my wife, Colette, will be in the crowd. But yeah, it's family and work, really.
And this art project, you've obviously been following it since the beginning. How do you think it's kind of changed in the past, 6 weeks?
I don't know. I mean, really, you should be telling me that, how it's changed. I don't know. I think the danger of it is that after its initial burst, like anything, we've got used to it and it's sort of ongoing. Yeah. As a journalist, I'm interested to know what the sort of interest is in it. I appreciate Anthony Gormley's whole idea about democratising art. I think it's become an interesting spectacle, certainly, part of the rich tapestry of London life. I think it's fun. I think that's what I like about it. There is a fun element to it, and with so much art, there is a danger it becomes a bit po-faced. I'll be controversial. I'm slightly disappointed that there's so many people have gone for the worthy side of it and have just gone and stood up there and almost been an advert for a charity or whatever. And I can understand that. I really can understand that. I wonder, I'd really like to know from Anthony whether that was something that he wanted it to be, almost like a platform for, oh, I'm here for Amnesty International, I'm here for the Samaritans. Because, I don't know, it doesn't say much about the person. That's what I find interesting. Surely I wanted to know more about the people rather than their cause. So I suppose that is it. Their cause is them at that particular moment. But I like the quirkier ones. I like the, you know, somebody who goes up there and juggles or whatever. But yeah.
And what do you think it's brought to the city?
I think the difficulty of anything like this is once it's had its initial impact and then the excitement dies down about it, it just, because there's so much happening, it's just, you know, people notice it, you know, as they're passing. How many people are actually coming down here? Well, they're only ever going to come down here presumably for that one person that they want to go and see. I don't know if it's had much of a wider impact, but that's always been the problem with the fourth plinth. Once you've had the initial burst, I mean, the hotel, you know, the Bird, was it called the Bird Hotel or the Hotel, was up there for such a long time that I think people sort of forgot it was, you know, modern art on a plinth, and it almost became permanent. But I do think they've been successful. And strangely, I know that Ecce Homo, one of the earlier ones, I really liked. I love that fact of putting up the 6 foot tall person, because they look so small on that plinth, and you look at them regarding the size of the big statues that we have in the rest of it, and it put it back down to earth, the scale of the thing. And that's what I liked about this as well. You know, I like the person who can go up there and just say, look at me, here I am, I'm worthy of looking at. So
just to go back to your hour, what are your hopes, expectations, fears?
Oh God, well, hope is I build a shed, it stands up, doesn't get blown off, and then I can dismantle it within the hour. That's the hope. The fear is I can't do that. I'm pretty confident I can, though. And if it stands there for 10 minutes before I take it down again, well, that's fine. I hope I give something for people to look at. I hope they go away thinking. I've got a flyer that I'm going to be, I have some people to hand out, which explains some of the background to it. So I don't know, I hope it makes people think. You know, my opening line is, who hasn't felt the urge to leave their mark on the world? Whether it's carving your initials on a tree, writing a book, or having children. Maybe even standing on a lump of stone for an hour building a shed.
That's great. And are you doing it for anybody in particular? I know it's a kind of huge, but...
No, I mean, as discussed.
Yeah,
as discussed. You're reading your questions off your sheet. That was a lazy question.
A lazy question.
Because I've explained all of that.
And ultimately, what kind of experience are you wanting to get out of today?
I don't know. I came with very little expectation of how I will feel. Because, again, I've got something to do. So I think it's the question for afterwards. Once I've been up there, once I've done it, once I've experienced the reaction to it, if I actually get that experience. I think I've got my 10, 15 minutes once it's built and before I have to take it down, when I can then perhaps gauge what's going on. Having said that, then I want to take a few photographs because I like photography. Ah, interest. I do like photography. It's tricky. I don't know. The whole experience thing, I think, is to be judged afterwards, really.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, it's cool.